Welcome to Studio J, supported by Come Here NC and the Department, the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. I'm Chris Sedge, and you are Chatham Rabbits. It's Austin and Sarah. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in. A lot of good things happening with you. First of all, did you know that you are the you opened this studio? You're the first artist to play in here years ago.
We were the first. I didn't realize we were the very first.
The very first.
I knew it had been a while since we were here, but I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know.
It's
only gotten better since then.
Well,
I'm sure.
I hope so. We were very fresh when we first came to that station. Yeah, like summer of 2018.
Yeah, so a long time
it's
ago.
Crazy to think yeah. about everything that's happened since
well,
then.
Well, you're back. It's great to have you. You've got a show this weekend, this mm-hmm. Sunday night at Lincoln Theater.
Yep.
The show just sold out, which is amazing. What's the show going to be like?
It's just going to be so fun. We have some new songs that we're going to be debuting and sharing with our Raleigh fans. And we're just excited to come back to Raleigh because we actually both went to school here.
Yeah.
And
it's been a while since we've played like in Raleigh. Probably.
Exactly. Okay. So yeah. We're pumped.
Yeah. New album came out this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How is it different from some of your earlier albums?
Honestly, I think one of the biggest differences is that we've written a lot of songs that are about our experience and not so much just stories of other people. Like, I think our first album was full of songs that we were inspired to write because of our family members
yeah.
or just historical, just stories that we heard. And I love writing songs like that too. But, you know, this album was written mostly during the pandemic. So it's very uplifting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is like it is a distinctively pandemic album.
But it is a lot of just about like, you know, we work together, we live together, you know, we do everything together. But like we're so distracted a lot of times by playing shows and being out and about like this. The pandemic made us all, not just us, but I think everybody take a real hard look at themselves and their relationships. And, you know, we also go to therapy, but we process most of it, our stuff through writing music. Yeah.
Tell me about then your pandemic perspective. What is it that comes out in the album? What is the perspective? Is it a sad, like this is so horrible, we're locked up? Or
honestly, no. I don't think the record is sad.
I don't think it's sad, but it's just it's a chance of like slowing down and being present with your emotions and not having a place to hide or get distracted by it and really just having to sit with what's going on in your life. So maybe melancholy is the right word. I wouldn't say
reflective.
Sad. Reflective. Yeah. Melancholy for sure.
Take us back. You mentioned being from Raleigh or going to NC State, I think, right?
Yeah,
Austin.
That's
you were
right.
At Peace College?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so did you meet here?
Well, you met in Chapel Hill, actually.
Well, sort of.
Actually,
were you bandmates or
no.
were you a couple first? Or
this
a
is a great
first?
Story.
Okay.
I'll let Austin tell it.
I saw Sarah. I didn't know who she was or her band, but how old was I? Like
we were 20.
20, yeah. I wasn't 21 because I know I was drinking a root beer, not a beer. But it was at Cat's Cradle, and she was opening, her band was opening for then Mandolin Orange, now Watch House on a. Was it the This Side of Jordan tour?
Yeah, it was one of their album release tours.
And I saw her on stage, and I was like, oh, man, amazing. I have to talk to her, the banjo playing girl. But we it was a year later before we actually met, and we met for the first time at Trophy in Raleigh.
Okay.
Yeah, we were 21 at that point, and
yeah.
So we went and got Trophy beers and hung out, and then we just started dating and playing music and graduated, left Raleigh, got other jobs, and lived
moved to Chatham County.
Yeah, moved to Chatham County, lived that life for about 3 years, and then started Chatham Rabbits after that. Yeah.
That was honestly like right before we came to that station.
Yeah. So when you guys had us back in 2018, we had just quit our jobs, and we really didn't have much of like a slow fade out of it. Like we just, at the end of the school year, I left my job, Austin left his, and we were like, oh, MG.
Wow.
Expletive.
Yeah.
We've got to.
Yeah. But here we are four and a half years later. So
yeah, if you look back on that decision, any regrets?
No.
No.
The only regret is that maybe we didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, that's my regret. I'm like, I just wish we had done it a little bit sooner.
But I don't know. Things like the timing was good because, you know, we having 4 years of experience as, you know, in the corporate world, I think has helped us treat our music as a business enough that we can make a living doing
right.
it. And so
it helped our work ethic a lot. And it also helped us understand, this sounds terrible, but it's like kind of what we don't want to go back to or what we appreciate now, because it is, more work being a full-time musician. Yeah. And it is so freaking hard. But it just, it's really nice having a life that's just one consistent timeline and not weekend and weekday.
Right.
And that choppiness. But it's a lot of work.
What's one thing you wish people understood about a professional artist?
Oh, I know what I would say.
Okay, you go first, but
I would
also
say
know.
People don't realize that what you see either on stage or let's say a painting or like a poem, any art form, what you actually see as a consumer is like maybe 10% of what went into that thing. And I think people, it's easy just to hear an artist's song or see a painting and just be present with it in that moment and think, oh, that's so crazy that that came out of this person or whatever. But it's, for some people, I think it does really just like come out of you, you know. But I think a lot of, like, Sarah and I have to work really hard to set ourselves up to create those things. And I think that's probably the thing people don't understand.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, but I was going to say it's only about 2% what you see on stage. I mean,
yeah,
just all of the everything that goes into creating the art and all the people connected, from the people that make your merch to the people at the distribution center, the agencies, the manager, the venue. Like, it's just, it is, there's so many emails and so much paperwork that goes on behind the scenes of one 75-minute concert.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Which would make me think that it was a ton of work putting together the series for PBS.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about that. How did that come together? Because that was a terrific series.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was so well done.
Yeah, so about the same time we were here at that station back in 2018, I was just, you know, again, we just quit our jobs. We're like, we have to pay our mortgage.
Yeah.
We're going to get really scrappy. So I just sent an email, like, through the general contact area to PBS and C and said, hey, like, this is who we are. We're doing this. We like to pitch ourselves. And they picked us up for a segment on My Home NC, which we got to do like a little 8-minute piece about our story. And then fast forward 3 years later, we were approached by PBS to do a full length series. And we said, heck yeah. And
it was a great experience. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, after you get off stage, when you're performing, it's like our time to like shut down. We get back in the bus, we drive, you know, we're not performing anymore. But when you had, you know, we had cameras even in our tour bus
and we were recorded, you know, all the time.
All the time.
So we were just,
we were performing 24/7. It was wild.
It was, and it was draining, but it was so,
we tried to just be ourselves though.
Yeah.
You know, like, we tried to not make it feel like we tried to just continue to be ourselves. But you know, you can't say cuss words.
Yeah,
you can't argue with each other too much, you know. You have to control
yourself.
And you
got to constantly think about what you look like and what
you're
wearing.
I know. I see clips from the show and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no one told me how greasy my hair looked." Like, there's stuff that
it's
we still,
we just slept in the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, there's so many things we miss, but that is just actual real life. Like, we really are just waking up in the bus and like, "Okay, we got to dry shampoo it and sometimes you miss a spot."
And you guys have a farm?
We do.
Yes.
Yeah,
62 acres.
Have something wrong with our brains.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We bought Sarah's family farm. It's been in her family for almost 300 years from her grandfather, who just passed away a couple weeks ago. And it's just been such a humbling experience owning that farm and trying to restore the house while we have everything else going on.
And have a career in music.
Yeah.
Do you have animals on the farm?
Yes. I mean,
we list them? We have 3 horses, 2 cows, chickens, a turkey, a dog, and a cat.
Wow. Yeah. What happens when you go on the road?
We have an awesome team of folks that help out. They're just like our farm sitters, and they all have a Google Calendar and sign up for time slots. And
when we got horses, it was easier to find house sitters because we let them ride the horses, you know? So, like, people are excited.
Horse girls are a cliche for a reason, because they exist in multitudes. And
they're like, you don't even have to pay us. We're like, we're going to pay you.
Just
so
take
you can
care
also
of,
ride your horse.
Take
the
care
horses.
Of the boys. Yeah.
Nice. Well, the show is this Sunday at Lincoln Theater.
Yes.
It's going to be great to see you, Chatham Rabbits. Thank you for coming by Studio J.
You are so welcome, Chris. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.